Living by faith. Living by faith. Let's pray together and then we'll get into the Word together. Let's pray, shall we? Lord, we thank You so much for Your great goodness to us, and we just love this subject of faith, Lord. We are learning how strategic and important, how huge is this matter of faith. Lord, teach us how to live by faith, even today as we're studying Your Word. By the work of Your Holy Spirit, open up our hearts, Lord, even as we're in the Word. We know faith comes by hearing the Word. Lord, speak to us words of life that will build faith in our hearts that we might access Your glorious grace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Living by faith. Again, this builds on our studies on humility and faith, the two relational realities that God wants to develop in people's lives that they might live by grace. God gives grace to the humble. Faith accesses grace. So living by faith. By way of introduction, Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him, to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. It pleases our Lord God when we walk by faith. When we take the steps of each day in dependence upon Him, it pleases Him. And actually, it is impossible to please God any other way. I think it's probably true that we desire to please God. I think it's why we are in a study like this. We desire to please God. We want to bring joy, pleasure, delight to His heart. You know what He loves? When we trust in Him. You know, my wife and I, we always loved it when our kids trusted us. You know, just took what we told them and cooperated and counted on it. And there's just something precious about that, you know, when your kids trust you. Well, God loves His kids to trust Him. And, of course, with the picture of us and God, it's even bigger. It's so right to trust Him. It's so invaluable to trust Him. He should be trusted. It pleases God when we walk by faith. No other approach to life is pleasing to the Lord. Because, see, the Lord wants us to live by His grace. And His grace is accessed, reached into, drawn upon by faith. Of course, that truth, given the most clearly in Scripture, in Romans 5:2, through whom, by faith, we have access into this grace in which we stand. A question now that we're going to let the Lord address in the Word, and I think the passages we're going to look at speak powerfully into this issue, and that is, what does a life of faith look like? What does it look like when a person lives by faith? You can word it another way. What will happen in our lives if we walk by faith? To put it another way, what does God's grace do in lives as they live by faith? There's another way to address this issue and restate the question. How broad, how diverse are the consequences of living by faith, thereby having God's grace as our resource? All of these verses we're going to read and these examples we're going to look at speak right into those kind of issues. Those are huge questions. And the Lord wants us to understand His answers on it. Well, let's look at some examples of those who God tells us live by faith. Not our guesses, but God tells us this person lived by faith. In fact, God only tells us they live by faith. He tells us exactly what happened in their life as they trusted Him. Notice, these are the kind of things we can expect to have happen in our lives. And the broad array of God's work by grace through faith is astounding when you put all these together. We're in Hebrews chapter 11. Let's look at Abel, Enoch, and Noah. First, Abel, Hebrews 11, verse 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. By trusting in God, Abel offered acceptable sacrifices to God, as we can also. By faith, trusting God, offer acceptable sacrifices to God. One way we do it is Hebrews 13:15. Therefore, by Him, by the Lord Jesus Christ, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Those who live by faith, live by trusting in God. They, like Abel, offer acceptable sacrifices to God. We live by faith in God. We'll end up offering these acceptable sacrifices as part of our ministry. Sacrifice of praise. That is, by our lips, giving thanks to His name time and time and time and time again. When people live by faith, they offer acceptable sacrifices of worship and service and ministry unto the Lord. That's part of it. But not only Abel is an example, Enoch, verses 5 and 6. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. The next verse is kind of an explanation of how he pleased God. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Faith is believing that God exists and that God responds to those who seek Him. Faith believes the evidence God gives that God is real and God is there. Faith believes the promises that God says He'll show Himself to those who look to Him. And Enoch was that kind of person. While trusting in the Lord, Enoch was taken up into heaven. Someday, one way or another, that will happen to us, we who trust in the Lord. Either we'll be raptured, 1 Thessalonians 4:17, or we'll just be called home to meet the Lord. Those who trust in the Lord will someday dwell with the Lord forever. So, acceptable sacrifices, worship, praise, service, anticipating being in the presence of the Lord someday. These are just some of the things that happen to people who trust the Lord. Hebrews 7 is a great one, of course. Noah. By faith. Noah. See, this is the point in all these stories. This is God telling us that these people lived by faith, and He's even taking out some strategic aspect of their life that was related to their faith. So there's great insight here on what happens with those who live by faith, thereby drawing on the grace of God. I mean, what a list. And it's going to get broad and wide and deep. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By trusting in the Lord, Noah was enabled to carry out an amazing task, probably one that seemed ridiculous to those around him, in fact, no doubt facing much ridicule, building an ark, doing what seems so foolish, an ark, a big floating vessel, in light of a flood of judgment coming. Come on, no way. Noah believed God. He didn't do this on some almanac long-range weather forecast. He wouldn't have gotten that. God told him, this is what's coming. Here's what I want you to do. And he did what seemed ridiculous. He did what seemed impossible. He obeyed God, built an ark, and he was delivered and those who came with him. It's an amazing picture of what can happen to people who trust in God. In many ways, we have a calling like Noah. We're calling people on an ark of safety. It's Jesus Christ. And to many, it seems ridiculous. And yet we're staking our whole life and existence upon it now and throughout eternity because we're doing it by faith. Not wishful thinking. We're convinced. This is real. We're going to pour out our lives in this direction. Abel, Enoch, Noah. There's some examples of what can happen in a person's life if they live by faith and draw on God's grace. Here are two great ones, though. I mean, classic, Abraham and Sarah. Love to read about those two. What people of faith, both of them. Sure, we can point out the times when they walked by sight and they blew it. It's another thing I like about Hebrews 11. It shows the graciousness of God's grace. Yeah, the Scriptures show us the shortcomings of many of the children of God. But here, looking back on their lives, kind of their heavenly report card, what God wants to talk about is their faith. I mean, they're now with the Lord. That's, you know, all the failures and foibles, they're done and gone. Now God says, let me tell you what was good in their lives, and the same kind of things can happen in your life if you'll walk by faith. Hebrews 11, 8 through 10. Hebrews 11, 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By trusting in the Lord, Abraham was able to obey, to respond to a very stretching call. He's able to follow God, stepping out, not knowing where it was all leading. By faith, he lived as a foreigner in a strange land. By faith, he awaited patiently the fulfillment of God's promises. And of course, this is what we are called to do. Hebrews 11, verses 11 and 12. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead. Pretty heavy summary of Abraham. And him as good as dead. Were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude. Didn't look too good for Abraham, but God wasn't done. Innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Oh, this is great. By faith, through dependence upon the Lord. That is, we're told exactly, by considering the one who promised as faithful, Sarah was enabled to do the impossible. She was past the childbearing years. The only way she could have a child is God had to come through. And she bore a child when she was past the age. She bore a child when it was impossible for her to bear a child because, and here was her faith, she judged him faithful who had promised. Yeah, it seems like she had quite a laugh at first. Isaac means laughter, and it's kind of like a double intention because at first there was like the laughter of disbelief. You know, I'm going to what? And God said to Abraham, no, she did laugh. I heard her. She laughed. But then when the child came, there was another laughter. The laughter of joy, the laughter of blessing, the laughter of answered prayer. Sarah, tremendous example. Tremendous example. Living by faith. What can happen if a person lives by faith? She did the impossible, bore a child when there was no way, that is, that she could do it. But no problem for God. What a great example of what can happen in people's lives. And the implications. Think of the implications. The implications impacted a multitude of lives. A nation that would be chosen came from this. You and I are here seeking the Lord, searching out the Word. because we're in this line of faith. Who knows what God wants to do in your life, my life, if we'll just trust Him? Just trust Him. Not be mighty, just trust the mighty God. Not accomplish great things, trust God to do great things. Just believe Him. Oh, it's huge. And thank the Lord, the Scriptures do let us know that Abraham and Sarah were people like us. They're people like us. When things got tough, Abraham schemed and lied and plotted and turned to Egypt and endangered the very life of his wife. I mean, we're not talking about well-adjusted people. We're talking about, quote, dysfunctional humanity. You'll excuse the expression. I feel like washing my mouth now. I don't like those terms. Like, ooh, I believe I said that. Thank you. Forgiveness has already been granted graciously. Yeah, they're sinners just like us. Just like us. They needed God, and He came through. By faith. Oh, living by faith. So wondrous, so important, so critical, so majestic, so full of heavenly potential. Only the will and the ways of God are the limits. Wow. Again, Abraham and Sarah, verses 13 through 16. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. That those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. They could have turned back. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. Abraham and Sarah, by faith, they were of those who lived as pilgrims and strangers on the earth, all the while awaiting God's fullness in the heavenly land yet to come. See, Abraham and Sarah did have an amazing life here on earth. They trusted in God. He came through. God used them. Good things happened on earth. But they caught on along the way. It was bigger than a promised piece of geography. And they started longing for a better country, a heavenly country, a forever land with God, heaven. And with that as their hope and expectation, they lived as pilgrims on earth. Hey, we're just traveling through. They didn't sink their roots deep into this world, into this planet, into its provisions and ways. And what an example that is to us, because that's what our calling is. Yeah, God wants to use us. He wants to do big things here in time and space. And He wants us to be His instruments, His vessels. But it's far bigger than that. We're headed for an everlasting home. A better country. Fullness of life to the fullest. Worship and fellowship with no interference and distraction. God wants to make this a good promised land. That is, us live in the land of His promises. But this is only going to be a foretaste of what's to come. And we can rightly live here with great expectation for there if we'll approach it by faith. Faith that God knows what He's doing now, but faith that far more yet remains in heaven above. That's the kind of example Abraham and Sarah are. 1 Peter 2:11 reminds us this is our calling too. 1 Peter 2:11. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. In other words, I beseech you as travelers on a spiritual pilgrimage toward heaven, live in a heavenly manner. Abraham and Sarah are good examples of that. They did that by faith. That's how we're going to do it. How can you live a heavenly kind of life increasingly on earth and all the while rest assured that you're headed for fullness of heavenly experience in glory above? It's by faith. By just counting on, trusting in what God tells us in His Word and trusting Him to work in us to enable us and use us now to give us that full expectation someday. It's by faith. Abraham and Sarah, such great examples of that. Here's more. Hebrews 11:17-19. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called." Concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. By trusting in the Lord, Abraham was enabled to obey God and offer up Isaac, Abraham's only begotten son. You know, in the sense that Jesus is God's only begotten son. Yeah. Abraham had another son and would have other ones. But the one he had, Ishmael, was not the right kind of son. It wasn't a son by promise that was by human ingenuity. Isaac was his only begotten, his uniquely begotten son, his properly begotten son. Just like God has many children, including us. But Jesus is the only begotten son. In the sense of uniquely begotten. No one born of woman like Jesus, a virgin. No one born with an eternal history before they're born. He's the only begotten son. A real picture there of Isaac. And here was Isaac. All the promises were tied up in this lad, this young man. This was the one through whom the mighty nation would come, through whom the blessing would go to all the nations of the earth. God says, lay him on the altar. Boy, it just staggers my mind. Having a couple sons, one of our five grandkids, a grandson. Man, just, oh, the thought. To lay them on an altar, view them as dead and gone, because that's what the altar was for. How did Abraham do that? He did it by faith. How are we going to go through the tough times when God calls us to lay things back in His hands? Where He has to be the one who comes through or it's all over. Even things He may be laid on our heart and promised, assured us, this is where He's leading, this is what He's going to do. He says, yeah, lay it on the altar. Wow. How do you do that? Only by faith. Only by trusting. That God knows what He's doing. He's trustworthy. And because of the promises, Abraham knew if Isaac dies on this altar, God can't deny His promise. He's going to have to somehow raise him. Well, if He wants him on the altar and He's still going to make a mighty nation out of him, he just concluded, verse 19, here was his faith, that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. He trusted in the resurrection power of God. And, we're told in a figurative sense, he received him back, as it were, from the dead, as a type of resurrection. When Abraham laid him on the altar, he was a dead son. It's all over. When God stopped him, put the ram, the sacrifice in his place, it's as though he received him back from the dead. Sure, beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, dying in our place. But the point here is, what happens when you live by faith? That's the point here. Well, we're called to those moments that are, I'm sure, as difficult for us as that was for Abraham with Isaac. And yet, even if it's something we know God wants to do and we lay it on the altar, He'll raise it back up. He'll raise it back up. Some of you have shared testimonies like that. You laid on the altar something that you sensed God wanted to do, but it wasn't time, and God is saying, not now, and lay it down, let it die. Let me be the one who gives it life and moves it on. You're sure seeing God work that way in our home and ministry. But how can you do that? By trusting in the Lord, Abraham was enabled to obey God and offer up his only begotten Son, the very promised one, and he did it relying on God's resurrection power if it was needed. And that's what's available to us too. Resurrection power. But the point here is, what happens when you live by faith? That's the point here. Well, we're called to those moments that are, I'm sure, as difficult for us as that was for Abraham with Isaac. And yet, even if it's something we know God wants to do and we lay it on the altar, he'll raise it back up. He'll raise it back up. Some of you have shared testimonies like that. You laid on the altar something that you sensed God wanted to do, but it wasn't time, and God is saying, not now, and lay it down, let it die. Let me be the one who gives it life and moves it on. We've sure seen God work that way in our home and ministry. But how can you do that? By trusting in the Lord, Abraham was enabled to obey God and offer up his only begotten Son, the very promised one, and he did it relying on God's resurrection power if it was needed. And that's what's available to us too. Resurrection power. Let's look at a few more examples of living by faith. What can come from it? What God can do to bring us through if we're living by trust in him. Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Hebrews 11:20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. The account of all this will be found back in Genesis. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. By faith in the Lord, Isaac pronounced a prophetic blessing upon Jacob and Esau. Even though there was some trickery and confusion and jealousy on their part, still by faith, Isaac pronounced that prophetic blessing. Then Jacob, verse 21. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Jacob pronounced similar blessings like Isaac did upon his sons, blessed them upon his seed. Those are also found in Genesis 48, and they pertained to the promised land, even, while they were still in Egypt. What steps of faith these were, looking ahead to God's faithfulness. Then also Joseph himself, verse 22. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. Now, this is an interesting one. He died outside of the promised land. As an act of faith in the Lord's promised plan to send Israel back into the land of Canaan, Joseph asked that his bones be carried back there with Israel for burial. I think the point is obvious. That this is a spiritual confession of faith. I mean, in the big picture, where bones are buried is not that big an issue in God's kingdom. But Joseph saw implications there. Hey, I'm dying here, but just as an exercise of faith in the faithfulness of the promises of God, I know you're going back. So take my bones with you. It'd kind of be an encouragement to the children when they took him back. Oh, remember, Joseph knew this was going to happen. He had faith. Let's have faith. And we know this was a matter of faith, not superstition or something, right? How do we know it? It says, by faith. God tells us. He did this by faith. This wasn't something he's afraid to leave his bones in a foreign land. Nothing like that. By faith, Joseph made mention of their departure and gave instructions. It was an act of faith, trusting God to keep his word. Let's look at another one here. Moses. Moses, chapter 11, 23 through 29. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. Boy, what a story of faith connected around Moses' pilgrimage. First one, though, is kind of interesting because it's really not about Moses, is it? It's about whose faith? His parents. His parents. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden. He was hidden by his parents. Was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child. They weren't afraid of the king's command. Boy, that was a courageous act on the part of Moses' parents. Hiding that baby, that could have cost them their lives. Well, they trusted in God to take care of that and to take care of the baby. Boy, did God honor that step of faith. Oh, my goodness. Protected little Moses. Even got the mom hired on as the nanny. I mean, what a response from the heart of God to their faith that was in itself a response to the character of God. So fantastic how that's all so relational. Faith and how it grows and how you exercise it. What happens when you do trust? Susie? Yeah, good. Good. The question is, did their faith cause them to lay down their life for their son like the scriptures speak of Jesus did for us and we're to do for one another? Yeah, I think that's a good correlation. Because it was a literal risking of their lives. But it was faith. We're told right here it was faith. We're not guessing. By faith Moses was hidden. This is an act of faith. This is what happens in people's lives when they trust God. They'll even do things that risk their lives for the benefit of others. I'm not saying that every year or every month or every day of my Christian life that's happened, but I'll tell you, God through the years has led me to do things and go places that have had physical risk in them. And yet when you think it through with the Lord, I mean, some of the trips to the Philippines were right in times when the communist guerrillas and the Muslim rebels were the most active, kidnapping and even killing Christian missionaries, especially those from America. And the Lord just laid on my heart, don't change the plans. Keep your word, follow through, go there. My goodness, can't God protect you? And it's funny, when you think it through with God and you're trusting in Him, it's like, hey, that wasn't a scary decision. And for an initial moment, especially when mission agencies were calling from over there, telling everyone they knew who was scheduled to come, don't come, and we got that call. You know, the first moment, it's like, oh, man. Pray for those that are being kidnapped, the threats, those who are hiding in the mountains, you know. And then you remember, you know, yeah, I'm supposed to go in 2 weeks. And in fact, the last call came 2 days before departure. Don't come. And yet I called the Filipino pastor who's going to host the conference I was doing, and I said, brother, I'm planning on coming, want to come, but getting all these calls from American missions groups and organizations saying don't go. And I said, I want to get your counsel. It was so great. He goes, oh, brother Bob, you come on. God will take care of you. I said, oh, that's all I need to hear. I said, amen. That's a confirmation. That's a confirmation. And oh, it was a fantastic trip. It's on my heart heavy, praying about going to South Sudan in July with a team that has invited me to join them. And you know, normally, naturally speaking, South Sudan? And I've told a lot of friends, our prayer partners, and they've already said, Bob, you're kidding. You're not going there, are you? That's a war zone. I mean, that's as some say, a no-go zone. You can't get permission to go there. Well, if God grants it, I can. That's my answer, you know. I mean, I know I can't from the government in the north. But if God grants it, that's all the permission you need. And the more I pray on it, the more I'm inclined, not the less. And you know, humanly speaking, it sounds kind of impractical, unwise, or foolish. But, you know, you pray for those saints, and you hear of those who've been there with them, and their hunger for the Word, and their deprivation of everything from food, clothing, and spiritual nurture. And you go, Lord, if you want me to go, don't let anything cause me to shrink back. And you can see, God had, as He said, His kids think of things like this and make astounding responses all the way. And Moses' parents did. Some of you guys already have, and I know many of you will, if the Lord tarries in His return. It's inevitable. This is a world against God. The whole planet's a real danger zone, actually. Just some more obvious and more physical and conclusive than others. What a great example. By faith. It's trust in the Lord that enables us to do such things. Also, by faith, Moses turned from all those advantages that Egypt offered him. And by faith, he identified with God and His people. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That was a huge refusal. They don't call me the adopted son of the king and put me up there. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Sure, sin has its pleasures, but they're so costly and they're so fleeting. How did he do that? He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Isn't that a statement? He thought it was a greater treasure to stand with the Messiah's people and be reproached by the world than to stand as one of the most powerful men on earth and have all those earthly treasures. Is that astounding? That's what faith leads people to do. My wife, she loves our kids and grandkids. She does so many things for them. And at certain seasons of the year when, you know, it just seems there's a great opportunity or grandkids might expect it, you know, like Christmas. We're not allowed into any day bigger than another day in our household, but kids aren't like that, you know. Kids aren't like that. So my wife loves to do special things for them then, and she's putting some things together and some things were missing to put it all together. And there's a little tear in her eye, you know. And she said, probably a lot of families would have five or six of these things she needed to put this package together. And I said, you know, sweetheart, they probably would. They'd probably have 10. But I said, they wouldn't have the ministry that you have. And we make a lot of choices with the Lord that it seems like we end up with less here or there than others seem to have an abundance of. But I tell you, what we do find is a greater treasure than the treasures of Egypt. He said, I'll stand with the Messiah's people, though they're a reproach to the world and will be in their long history. That's a more prized treasure than identifying with the power and resources of Egypt, the strong power in the world in that day. How do you do that? By faith. By faith. Also, Moses endured the challenges by putting his attention on the one he was trusting in. Verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who was invisible. Isn't that God's gracious way? It's clear when you get the account back there in Exodus that there was some fear in Moses' original fleeing. But in the big picture, in the testimony of his life, and what he ultimately was expressing in his heart as he fled, he was forsaking Egypt. And he endured as seeing him who is invisible. How do you endure the things that Moses endured, cast out of the palace and on the backside of the desert? He endured such difficulties by putting his attention on the one he was trusting. Earlier verse, he looked to the reward. He put the whole thing in eternal perspective. And then by faith, he depended upon the blood of the Lamb, as we must do. Him, the type, the Passover Lamb, us, Christ our Passover. And by faith, he was delivered out of the bondage of the Egyptians, as we have been out of the world's grip. Boy, these are fantastic pictures of what can happen in people's lives if they're willing to live by faith. Willing to trust in God. Not in themselves, not in others. Lean on the Lord. Look at the breadth. Look at the extent to what God does in lives who trust Him. It's huge. It's deep. It's wide. May God use these examples to draw us to live by faith.